Begin the current daf Masechet Sukkah, daf Nun Gimel. Begin on the second line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from daf Nun Aleph, which spoke about the Simchas Beis HaSheva, the great Simcha, the rejoicing that happened when during the evening, which was the procession of getting the water from the Shiloach, all the way till the morning when they would actually do the Nisach HaMayim, the pouring of the water libations on the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah told us the Chasidim Anshei Maisa, that the pious ones, and the ones, the men of deeds, they would perform certain feats, that of juggling, and they would say shiris v'sishbachis. So Tavan, we learn the Braisa regarding what was the divrei shvach, the praise that they would sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was yeshmen oimrim, that there were those that they would say, asher yaldu seinu, praiseworthy are our youth, shalei vaisha ezik nesenu, that didn't embarrass, that's not embarrassing, our elder years, that we didn't transgress any sins when we were younger, which would make us embarrassed when we're older. Now, that the Gemara says, Elu Chasidim Anshei Maisa. That's a reference to the pious ones, which in this context, the chasid means someone that was always a chasid, and men of deeds that they never sinned in the first place. B'yesh min oimrim, there are those that say, Asher ziknu seinu, that praiseworthy are our older years, Shekipres yaldu seinu, that it atoned for our younger years. Which that, as the Braisa says, Elu Bali Tshuva, that's a reference to those who were penitents, that they did tshuva, which that was the differences, that they were saying, Ashrei, that our younger years didn't cause anything bad for our older years, and the other one said that praiseworthy are our older years, that it atoned for our younger years. Then Elu Ve'elu Aymrim, both the Hasidim and the Bali Tshuva, they both said, Ashrei Mishal Lechata, praiseworthy is someone that never sinned. Umishachata, someone that did sin, Yashav Yimchalai, he should do tshuva, and then he'll be forgiven. So that they went together in saying that better never sin, like the Chasid Manshe Maisa, but if one did, then like the Bali Tshuva, then do tshuva, and a person will be forgiven. So Tanya Lenna Braisa, Amru Lava Hil HaZaken, they said regarding Hil the Elder, when he was rejoicing at the Simchas Beis HaSheva, when they would be drawing the water during the evening by the nights of Sukkot. So Amar Kane, he would say the following drasha to the people over there, that they shouldn't sin. And he was saying it like as if in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was saying, Imanikan, which is a reference on Ni Hashem, he was saying as if he's talking in the name of Hashem, that is, as long as I'm here, Hashem, in this house, and my Shechin is here, then HaKol Kan, then everything is here. Then the honor is here in this Beis HaMikdash, and everyone's going to come. And Hashem, so to speak, is saying that if I'm not here, that is if the Jewish people will sin and I'll remove my Shekhinah, my divine presence, then Mikan, who's going to come over here? And that's what Hill would say during the Simchas Beis HaSheva. Hu haya imakein, similarly Hill used to say the following thing. It says, Lamakam shani oyhev, to the place where I love, Sham ragle malichas, I say, that's where my feet take me. Im tave el beisi, if you come to my house, ani ave el beisecha, I'll come to your house. If you don't come to my house, Hashem says, I'm not going to come to your house. Hashem, like it says, the pasuk in Shemayis, whichever place I have my name being recited, I'm going to come to you and bless you. So that's what Hashem is saying, that if you come to me, I'm going to come to you. Afhu, also him, again, reference to Hill, he saw one skull, which was floating on the water. And that is that they cut off his head and they threw it into the water. And Hill recognized that this person's the skull was a murderer. And then people similar like him, who were other robbers, other bandits, got to him and killed him. So Amalasa, he said to the skull, he says, Al da'ataft, because you made other skulls floating on top of the water, atfuch, that's why your skull is floating now on top of the water. However, ultimately, umitifayich, and those who have killed you, murdered you, and have your skull drowning now, floating on top, yitufu, and there's going to be a day when their skulls are also, those who murdered you, are also going to be floating on top of the water. Now, Amr Yechon, Yechon says, regards to what we quoted from Hill, that he says that, to the place where I love, that's where my feet take me. So Rabbi Yechon says a similar idea. He says, the legs of a man, of a person, inun arvenbe, they are his guarantors. And that is, lasar demizvai, to the place where he is summoned to be, and that is the place where it's been decreed from Shemayim, that that's where he's going to die, and that's the one place where they want his soul to be taken away from him. Taman mevilin yosei, that's exactly where his feet will take him. As the Gemara brings the following incident, hanu tarte kushoy, there were these two kushoyim, which is a reference because, quote, that they were beautiful, that's why they're called kushoy, that that they were in front of Shlema HaMelech, as the Pasuk of Melech HaMelech says, these were Eli Chayrif of Achia, who were the Bnei Shaisha Seifim, they were scribes, as the Pasuk there says, De Shlema HaMelech, that they were from the scribes of Shlema HaMelech. Now, Yom Echad Chazi LaMalech HaMavis, the Havakatzah, one time Shlema HaMelech saw the angel of death, who was very sad. Amleisa Shlema said to him, Amaya Tzivis, why are you sad? So Amleisa, the Malach HaMavis, told him, the Koboi Minoi Hanli Tartikushoi Diyas V'Hacha, because it's been given to me as a mission to take away the soul of these two Kushaim, these scribes by Shlema HaMelech. And it's their time to die, but I don't have the opportunity yet to do my mission to take away their soul, as the Gemara will illustrate, because actually it was decreed that the only place he could take away their neshama was by the Shar Luz, by the Gate of Luz. But he didn't tell that to Shlema HaMelech, he just says, I have to take the neshama and I'm not able to yet. But however, Shlema HaMelech realized that the Malach HaMavis wants to kill them, so he wanted to get around the Malach HaMavis and save their lives. So Masrinu, so Shlema HaMelech gave over these two people, L'Seirim, to Shadim, to demons, who Shlema HaMelech was the king over all beings, those on Elyonim and Tachtonim, and therefore he ruled over the Shadim too, as the Pasuk says in Divrei Yom Aleph. And Shadrinu L'Mochayza, he sent these two people through the Shadim to protect them on the way going to the place of Deluz, which Luz was a city that the Malach HaMavis didn't have any rule, any dominion over, as the Gemara says himself, the site of Mem Bavman Bay. So therefore he wanted to get around the Malach HaMavis. He heard that he wants to kill them and he couldn't kill them yet, so he says, you know what, let me get around the Malach HaMavis. I'm going to send them to this place of Luz and then they're not going to die because he's not going to have any rulership over them over there. Kimat l'machuz de Luz, however, when they got to the city of Luz, when they were about to enter, that's when they died. L'machar chazi Malach HaMavis the Havakabadach. The next day, Shlema HaMelech, he sent those two people away. The next day he sees the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, who is laughing, he's smiling. Amalei, so Shlema HaMelech says, Amai B'dichas, why are you so happy? So Amalei, so he said to Shlema, Ba'asar Dubai Minoi, the place where I needed from them, Taman Shadriya Sindhu, that's exactly where you sent them to. In other words, he didn't realize that he was trying to get around the Malach HaMavis, and it's exactly where he sent them to. He could only take their lives by Shar HaLuz, by the Gate of Luz. So Miyad Pasuk Shlema Ba'ama, and then right away Shlema HaMelech opened up and he said the following statement, says, Ragloi Devar Inish, the legs of man, Eden Arvin Bey, they are his guarantors, and that is guarantors to heaven, where it pays up the guarantee, where they take him from where heaven wants him to be, where his soul is going to be taken away, and that is La'asar de Mizvay, the place where he's summoned, Taman Mavilin Yosei. That's where it takes him to. Now the Gemara turns to the concept that we were speaking about, the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva. Tanu learned the Braisa that Amru Lav al Reb Shimon Gamliel, they said regarding Shimon Gamliel, Shoy Semeach Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, when he would rejoice by the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, Hayinaitel Shemayna Avuka Shalar, he would take 8 torches of fire, the Zarek Achas Vendetlach, he would throw one up and catch one, Ve'einagizu Bezu, and they wouldn't be touching each other. In other words, he'd be juggling. Another feat he would do, Ukshu Mishtachave, when he would prostrate, when he would bow down, Noyit Shnei Gedolav, he would stick his two thumbs of his two hands, ba'aretz, on the ground, and he would be leaning on his two thumbs, v'sheicha, and he would bend over, v'noshikas aritzpo, and he would kiss the ground, and that fulfills the pasuk in Tehillim Kof Beis, which says, ki rotza avodechas avaneo, how we desire, and we it's precious to us, the ground, the holy ground, therefore he was kissing the ground, v'zaykev, and he would stand up, v'enko b'erichoy laskein, and no one there was able to do this feat. And as the Gemara explains, the Vizuhi Kida, this is what's known, and it's written in the Ksuvim, it's called Kida. Whereas the Gemara explains himself, this bracha is Kida is alapayim. It's only having the face bowing down to the floor, but not to bow down the entire body. And therefore, this is something that's a great feat that only Shimon was able to do there from all the people that were there, because what one has to do is one has to bow down from the waist, going his face down, but and therefore you're bowing, but not having your whole body down. That's like folding over the body. It's a very hard feat. As the Gemara illustrates, that actually Levi Achve Kida Kamed Rebbe, Levi demonstrated how this Kida is done in front of Rebbe, Ve'itla, and it became lame. And the reason is because what happens is when you get up, so you're able to get down and you have your two thumbs on the ground and you have your face touching the ground, but it's really only the body's getting up by itself because you're not supporting yourself with your hands. Now, when one gets up, that's a big strain on the lower back, that when he got up, that caused him to become lame because it was coming back without any support, and that was a big strain that turned him into a lame. Now, that the Gemara asks about Gramle, that's what caused him to become a lame? But V'amr Belazar said, La'ilam al yitiach adm dvarm kalapi maila. A person should never throw things. In other words, to complain and say things that are not proper towards Shemaim, towards heaven. Shay adm gadol yitiach dvarm kalapi maila. Because there was a great person, which we're going to say who that is in a second, that threw things, that said things which were somewhat inappropriate to Shemaim. As the Gemara says in Pesach, this tainus nafchafeim at alf, where he said, Alisa b'yishavt l'cha b'marim. You went up, you're sitting up in the highest hemispheres, v'yata mashkeach b'nech, and you're not looking after your sons, saying like, Hashem, there's so many tzars happening to the Jewish people, how are you just staying so far away? Vitla, and that person became a lame umano, and we said, who is that? We said, that's Levi. So you see, the reason why he became a lame was because he said things inappropriate to Shemaim, not because he was doing this kida. But the Gemara answer is actually, ha v'ha gramale. It was actually both of them that caused it. Now, what that means is that really the punishment was for saying things inappropriate to Shemaim. However, he became a lame, that is, they executed the punishment at a time when he was susceptible and vulnerable, which was when he was doing this kida, which then allowed him to become lame. As the Gemara says, Mitzvah L'Shabbos, Lamed Beis Amar Alef, like a mushal, it says, Nafal Tura, when the ox falls down, then Chadid L'Sakin, and then sharpen your knife. In other words, it's already something that's a vulnerable situation, then we go ahead and we execute. So yes, the punishment was fitting for that, what he had said inappropriate, but that only was only executed at the time when he was doing the kida. Now, similar to what we were saying before regarding the feats of juggling, so Levi ha metayel kamei Rebbe, so Levi used to juggle, he would entertain in front of Rebbe in Rebbe's house, because Rebbe was Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, he was the leader of the Jewish people, and they honored Levi to help make Rebbe happy, because Rebbe was always worried about the tzaris of Klal Yisrael, and also with his personal sicknesses, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Nedarim, that regarding the day that Rebbe would laugh, then punishment would come to the world, because Rebbe would worry for the world. So therefore, Levi was making him happy, but Tamane Sakini with 8 knives, he would juggle 8 knives. Similarly, Shmuel Kamei Shavar Malka, Shmuel in front of King Shapur, who was the king of the Persians, but Tamanye Mazgi Chamra, he would juggle 8 glasses that were filled with wine, and none of the wine spilled out. Abaye Kamei De Rabba, Abaye in front of Rabba, but Tamanye Bey, he would juggle 8 eggs. Barmilan, some say Barba Bey, some say 4 eggs. So we see that the Chassidim Anshei Maisa were those that they were proficient in juggling, and they would use that as ways of rejoicing. Now, continuing with the theme of the Simchas Beis Eva, time we learn the Braisa, Amrishu ben Chananya. Amrishu ben Chananya said, now he was from the Levium that would sing. There was 2 different jobs. The Levium had the Meshayrim and the Meshoyarim. The Meshayrim were the ones who would close the gates, and the Meshayrim are those who would sing. As the Gemara says, the Masechtas Eirchin, so he was from the Levium. He said, Kashayinu Simechim Simchas Beis Eva, when we were rejoicing at the Simchas Beis Eva, in other words, throughout the days of Sukkot, Le'ri'ina Shina Beinenu, we never saw sleep come to our eyes. We were busy all day, and usually we sleep at night, but Simchas Beis Eva, we were also up all night, rejoicing at the Simchas Beis Eva. Ketzad, how so? Because Sharishar, you know, the first hour of the day is Tamashal Shachar, then we have to be busy then. Misham L'Tvil, then from there we went to Davin. Misham L'Karba Musaf, from there we went to bring the Karba Musaf. And Misham L'Tvil is on Musaf, and then afterwards we went to Davin Musaf. Then Misham L'Beis HaMedrash, then we went to learn in the Beis HaMedrash. Then Misham L'Chila B'Shtia, then we went to eat and to drink. Then Misham L'Tvil is on Mincha, then we went to Davin Mincha. Misham L'Tamet Shabin Abayim, then we went to bring the afternoon Karban Tamet. And Mikam Ve'elech L'Simchas Beis HaSheva, once it got dark after the Karban Tamet, then we went, and that was the Simchas Beis HaSheva, which went throughout the entire night. So therefore, we never slept throughout Sukkot. Now, that the Gemara asks, Edeni, is that really so? Can it be they didn't sleep for the entire Sukkot? Rabbi Amar, Rabbi Yechon said, Shavua Shloi Ishin Shloi Shayam. If someone takes an oath that I'm not going to sleep for 3 days, so first, Malkan Isay, they give him lashes. And the reason is because he was over on what's called a Shavua Shav, which is that from the moment the person said this oath, it's like he swore that this rock is really gold, which means to say it's an outright lie because it's something that's not possible. As the Gemara says in Masechta Shavuos, that's what a Shavuos Shav is, and if someone does it b'mezid, he gets makis. And we're obviously talking about, for example, if let's say there was Hasra, that they warned beforehand, don't say that, and they said, you know, I swear I'm not going to sleep for 3 days, that's something that's an impossibility, just like you're saying that this Evan is Zahav, therefore give him Malkis, Yashan Alten, and he can go to sleep right away because we don't hold him to what he's saying. It's not an oath, it's a Shavuos Shav. So therefore, how could they have said they didn't sleep throughout the entire sukkah of 7 days, when here we see that for 3 days a person can't go without sleep? So the Gemara says, no, El Hochem, or rather what he said was, Lo'ita'amnu tamshinu. We never really tasted the taste of sleep. We didn't really get a good sleep. Because we used to just doze off on the shoulders of each other. But yeah, they would sleep because it's impossible not to go with 3 days without sleeping. However, they didn't really get a good sleep. It was just dozing off in between. Now the Mishnah said that Chamish Esri Milas, that they had these 15 Milas that were there, the 15 steps where the Levim would be standing when they would be singing the song by the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, which was connected the 15 Shir HaMalas that David HaMelech said. So related to this, Amali Rav Chizla, who made Rabbanon? Rav Chizla said to one of the Rabbanon, he says, Dehava Kamasadeh Gadeh Kameh, who used to prepare the Agadic teachings in front of him. So Amali said to him, Shmielach Hani Chamesh Esri Malas, did you hear regarding these 15 Shir HaMalas? Connected me Amram David, regarding who did David HaMelech say? Why did he say 15 Shir HaMalas? So Amali said to him, Hachim Rabbi Yechon, this is what Rabbi Yechon said, B'shosh Shekara David Shitin, at the time when David HaMelech dug the sheeten, which we discussed in the previous daf, which were these pipes, these cavities that went down to the depths, which as the Gemara, as Rashi explains, obviously that this opinion is not going like the opinion that says it was from Sheshem Ibrahim, because David's digging it, or he says that even if it's going like that opinion that these were from the 6 days of a creation, but maybe they got filled up, they stuffed up with earth and with pebbles, and therefore they had to redig it. But either way, when David HaMelech was digging the sheeten, so the depths of the earth, that the water that's beneath the ground, came floating up to the top. And it wanted to drown the world. So that's when David HaMelech said these 15 Shir HaMalas, and that's how he had the water go back down, that it shouldn't flood the world. So then he asked, if that's the case, Chamesh Esri Milas, should he say 15 Shir HaMalas, which means songs of elevation, of ascent? Yerdus Mibayle should have said of descent, of going down. Why would it be Shir HaMalas? So Amalei, so rather Rav Chizda said that Hoyvad Karta, now that you reminded me, Hachiyadma, this is exactly what it was, the story of why he said 15 Shir HaMalas. Because Beshoshakar David Sheetan, at the time when David was digging these pipes that would go down from the top of the Mizbech down to the bottom, Kafa Tahima. So then the earth, the depths, was floating to the top. Again, yes, it wanted to flood the world. Now, Amad David, David said as follows, is there anybody that knows the halacha? And that is, because David didn't want to pask in the halacha in front of his Rebbe Achitayfel, because that Achitayfel was there, and it's forbidden to say a halacha in front of one's Rebbe. So he said, does anyone know, Ishar lemichtav shem, are you allowed to write Hashem's name? We continue on to Amad Beis, Achaspa, on a shard of earthenware. And the reason why he wanted earthenware was because that's something that will go down to the bottom and won't flood on the top, and then we'll be able to throw it down into the depths, that it could go down and cover the hole, umanach, and it could bring the water down. Now Rashi brings another interpretation from Medrash Shmuel that says that David HaMelech found this earthenware on the hole of the Tahaim, of the depths. Now on it, it said that this has been here from the Sheshish Mevereshis, and then he took that off, and then it was starting to flood. So he wanted to take that same shard that was there covering, and he wanted to write the Shem Havaya, the name of Hashem, to go ahead and cover that so it should go back and bring it back as it was from the 6 days of creation. But be that as it may, that was David HaMelech. He was asking, does anyone know, could we write Hashem's name and have it go down? So like at the Kamalei Midi, no one said anything. So Amar David, David said, called the Yad Lameima Be'Eino Eimer, whoever knows the halacha, what to say in this case, and doesn't say, Yechanek Begreinei, he should choke in his throat. So, Nasa Achitayfel Kavachem Ba'atma. So, Achitayfel went through the logic of a Kavachem. And he said, Uma Lasis Shalom Benish Le'ishtoi, if to make peace between husband and wife, which is in the case of a Saita, a suspected woman of adultery, where they check her with certain waters that they dissolve Hashem's name. Which, and then if she's pure, that's going to be the shalom, the peace between them, because she's suspected, and then she drinks the water. And if she's tar, then he knows that she didn't do anything wrong. And Amr Tyra, so, and there the Tyra says, Shmi Shenichta B'Kedusha, my name that's written in holiness, which is written on this parchment, which it says over the Yitin Hashem Oischa, says Hashem's name. As the Pasuk says, you should write Hashem's name. You should write these curses, and still Yimcha Alamayim, Hashem says that you should erase it on the water. And that's reason is because you want to make peace between husband and wife. So if that's the case, lasha shalom uchal olam kulay, to make peace for the entire world, because here the whole world's going to drown, alachas kama v'kama, most definitely we're allowed to go ahead and erase Hashem's name, because we would think, who cares, let the world flood, you can't erase Hashem's name. However, you see from the case of Saita, that's to make peace, even just between husband and wife, you could. So be sure to make peace for something that's chamer, as the entire world, for sure you could erase Hashem's name. So Amalei Shari, so Achitevel told them it's permitted. So Kasav Shem Achaspa, so they wrote Hashem's name on the chard, Veshadel Tama, and they threw it down into the depths, Venochas Tahima, and then the depths went down, Shitzer Alfigar Midi, went down 16,000 amas down from the surface of the earth. Now Kichazi Denochas Tuba, when they saw that it went so deep down, so Amar David HaMelech said, Kama de Midli, the higher that the depths are, that it's closer to the surface of the earth, then the earth will be more moist, and then it's going to be able to produce better fruit. So it's not so good that it went so far down. So that's when he said these 15 mizmorim of Shir HaMalis. So the 15 Shir HaMalis correlated with the 15,000 amas that it came back up. And then it stayed only 1,000 amas away, because it went down 16,000. Now 15 shemals brought up 15,000 amas, and now it's only 1,000 amas away, the depth from the surface of the ground. So Amaula Ula says, Shemamina, from this we can understand that Sumcha De'ara, that the thickness of the crust of the earth all the way till the depth is Alfagar Midi. Must be that's at 1,000 amas. Now that the Gemara asks, but we see that we dig just a little bit, and water comes out, it should be 1,000 amas, not just a little bit. So Mishash says, Hahu, that's Misuloma de Paras. That's from the ladders of the Euphrates. And that is because near Bavel, which is where the Gemara was taking place, that was near Paras, near the Euphrates. Now there were these types of ladders, so to speak, which were like these different cavities, these tunnels that were going underground, which was from the waters of the Euphrates, which that had the higher elevation than all the other types of rivers, and they had a very strong push. And therefore, they were saying that even someone that digs in the mountains, in Bavel, that's near Paras, they were able to take out water, but generally the idea is the water is 1,000 amas beneath the ground. But however, there, where they have from the Euphrates, that goes higher through these types of cavities going up to the top, that's why they were able to dig a little and get it. Now the Gemara said that the Amdu Kahanim b'Shar Ha'Elyon Shiyarid v'Chulu, that the Kahanim would stand on the upper gate and they would then proceed down, and they would blow they blew the shofar tekiah through a tekiah when they were on the top, and then they blew it when they're on the bottom. Now they were somewhere in the middle, which was on the Maila Asiris, that they on the 10th step that they also blew it again tekiah through tekiah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked regarding that. He says, Lamaila Asiris. When it says that they blew it again on the 10th step, so they blew when they were on the top, and then when they came down to the bottom. And also on the 10th step. So that 10th step, does that mean Denoches Chamisha V'Koy A'asara? What is the 10th step? Meaning they came down 5 steps, and then they're on the 10th step from the bottom? Idima Denoches Asara. Maybe when it means they were on the 10th step from the top down, meaning they came down 10 steps, V'Koy A'chamisha, and then there were still 5 steps going down to the Ezes Nashim. What does it mean, the 10th step? Nothing must take a let it stand. It's not clear if the 10th step meant from top down or from bottom up. It's now related to what they said when they got to the bottom, when they were leaving the Azara, they then turned their face back towards the Heichel and to the sanctuary. They said that, but although our fathers went and they turned their face to the east and their backs towards the Heichel, we're turning around to the Heichel, and because Anuluka Veinenuluka. Now, talk about when the Braisa regarding their forefathers who were wicked in the times of the first Beis Hamikdash, the Gemara asks in the following context. B'mash Meshenema, from the fact that it says in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Ufenein Kegma, that their faces were eastward, where they were standing by the entryway of the Heichel, as it says in the beginning of the Pasuk, that the Behine Pesach Heichel Hashem, by the entryway of the Heichel of Hashem, there were like 25 men. Now, it should have only said, Ufneim Kedma, that their face were eastward, and then I would know that their back is to the Heichel Hashem, because the Heichel was to the west, and the Pesach, the opening was by the Kaisel Mizrachi, it was by the east. So if they're facing east, we know their back is to the west. So, in the Yedea Shacharim al Heichel Hashem, don't I know that their back is to the Heichel, to the sanctuary of Hashem? Elamata Malamis, and now what does it mean when it says Achareim al Heichal Hashem, that their back is to the Heichal Hashem? Again, this is what they're referring to by the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, that we're not like them, that they were wicked and they were facing to the east and their back towards the west. But why say that if we know that back is to the west of your face is to the east? So rather, Malamit show you Parinatma teaches that there was an added level of disgrace, that they reveal themselves, Masrizin Klapimata, and they defecated, they went and relieved themselves towards the bottom that is facing towards the Heichal Hashem. So when they say Achareim al Heichal Hashem, it's an added level of disgrace that they did. And that was what they, the Rishon did in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now, however, as Mishnah tells us, but they would say, we're not like that, and rather, anu l'ka u'l'ka inenu, that we're for God, and to God are our eyes. Now, the Gemara asks on that phraseology, how they were able to say ka two times in a row, Hashem's name, but ini, is that really possible? Is that permitted? But Omer Abzer said, kolo imer shema shema, whoever says the pasuk of shema two times in a row, then it's kilo omer maidim maidim. It's like as if when he's saying maidim, he says maidim, and then he says maidim again, which the Mishnah says in Masechtas Brachos, that we say, we tell him to be quiet, because it's like as if he's, what, as if he's, there's two gods that he's talking to. Maidim, we thank you. Maidim, we thank you. But that's not. Obviously, there's only one God. And therefore, we tell him to be quiet. Same thing says with saying Shema twice. So the Gemara's question is, how could they have said, Anu l'ka l'ka inenu? He's saying ka. It sounds like that there's two Rishuyas, like there's two people that are, in, two things that are in control, not just one Hashem. So therefore, the Gemara said, L'hochem, rather, this is what they said. That Heim Mishtachavim Kedma, they, our forefathers, they bowed down towards the east. The Anu l'ka, and the Gemara says Mishtachavim, but however, we bow down to God. V'inenu l'ka me'achles, and our eyes are yearning for God, which is, and that is, since it's talking about two different things. One is regards to that who we bow down to, and one is that who we yearn for. So therefore, it's allowed to say two times ka, because it's not just one thing that you're saying two times. That would be inappropriate. That would be like Shema Shema or Maidim Maidim. But here, since it's two different things, what's Miachles and one's Mishtachvim, therefore there's no problem about saying the name ka two times. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah. Continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which it was mentioned, that they did taku, hariu taku, that they would blow these tekiyas, trus tekiyas. So now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which talks about, in general, the idea about tekiyas and trus tekiyas in the Beis HaMikdash itself, which included in that are these tekiyas and trus tekiyas that they would do by the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva. So the Mishnah tells us, Ein peichsim me'esrim ba'achas tekiyas ba'mikdash. There is no less than 21 blowings of the trumpets in the Beis HaMikdash every single day, as the Mishnah will explain, which when we say this in these numbers, we mean to say that there was a tekiya, which is a flat blast that's in the beginning. Then there's a flat one afterwards, a straight one, and then you have a trua, which is with broken blast that's in the middle. That's considered as three. So although each one, you wouldn't have a tekiya separate without a tekiya, true tekiya, but each one is considered separate. And that's like counted as three. So there's no less than 21 every day. But there's never any more than 48 in a day. As Mishnah explains, every single day there were 21 blasts in the Beis HaMikdash, which is shalosh lepsicha sham. You have three when they would open up the gates of the Azar of the courtyard. 9 when they would bring the morning carbon tamid, which when they would pour the nesachim that came with the carbon tamid, and the Levim would sing the Shira. So there were three different Prakim, three different chapters that was in the song, which they would stop by, and then the Kahana would blow by the Chatzaitza on the trumpets, and then the people would bow down, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Tamid, when they would get to the first parak, or to any parak, they would blow the Chatzaitzas, and the people would bow down. That is, by every parak was a tekiya, and by every tekiya was a bowing down, and on every tekiya was a true in the middle, and the tekiya at the end, say a tekiya, true tekiya, and therefore, since it was three times, times three, so therefore there was 9 for the Tamashal Shachar. And Mateshal, Tamashal Ben Abayim, there was also the same process, 9 by the Nesachim in the evening, by the Tamashal Ben Abayim. Of Mesafin, and then on the day when there was a Karban Musaf, Hayim Mesifin Oitesha, then it would add another 9, because then there was again a Shira, which was by the Karban Musaf, which again is 3 times stopping, with each time being 3, so that was 9. Ube Erev Shabbos, Hayim Mesifin Shesh. And then on the Erev Shabbos, on the Friday, then it would add another 6. Shalish lahavtlas amalach, a 3 blasts to remind the people to stop doing the work that they're doing, to get them to stop doing work, as the Gemara explains at the end of Perek B'Mamad Likin in Masechta Shabbos. The Shalish Lahag Ben Kedjel Chol, then another three to separate between the holy day of Shabbos and the weekday, meaning when the sanctity of Shabbos is beginning, to let people know that it's already getting dark, it's Shabbos right now, and that from now on there's going to be a Chiv Skil if you do Malacha. That was another three they would do. Now, Erev Shabbos Shabbatecha Chag, when it was Erev Shabbos during the Yom Tov Sukkos, that was the most. That's when there were 48 blasts, as the Mishnah explains. You had Shalosh L'Psicha Sharm, you had three for the opening of the gates, like there was every single day, which there were seven gates in the Azara. Then you had Shalosh L'Shar Elyon, you had three for the upper gate, as we said in the previous Mishnah, which was Kara Geva, the person would call out, and then they would do Taka V'ri B'Taku, they would blow Tkiya, truer than a Tkiya. The Shalosh L'Shar Tachtan, then there were three for the lower gate, when they finally came down the steps, the 15 milas, with the 15 steps going down from the Ez Yisrael to the Ez Nashim. Then they would blow a tekiah, true tekiah, and they would take those blasts as long as it took them to get to the gate, which was leaving from the Azara on the eastern front towards the Har Habayis, which that was the Shahar Tachnan. Now, the Gemara will ask and explain why didn't they count another three blasts, which was by the 10th step. We said that there was another tree, true tekiah, and tekiah, true tekiah, and that the Mishnah is not counting in this counting of 48. With that count, it would be 51. Then v'sholish lemila hamayim, there was another three when they would fill up the water. And that is after they filled up the water and they were coming back to the Azara through what was called the Shah HaMayim, because this is where they would bring the water back for the Nisach HaMayim. And as the Mishnah learned in Daf Mem Chesem Abayis, when they reached the Shah HaMayim, taku v'ri v'taku, so there was another three blasts. V'sholish agav mizbech, and then there was three regarding the mizbech, which was when they would stand up the Aravis, which was the Pesida of the Haishanis, as the Mishnah taught in Daf Memhei Amud Aleph, that you would stand up Da'aravus on the side of Mizbech, and Betaku, V'riu, Betaku. So that was another three blasts. Then you had Teshel, Tumet Shel Shachar. Then you had, as every day, nine for the Tumet Shel Shachar, Beteshel, Tumet Shem Nabayim, nine for the evening Karban Tumet, Beteshel, Masafin. Then you had nine for the Karban Musaf, which you bring on Sukkos too. Then you had Shalosh Lahavtas Am Locha, since this was the Arab Shabbos in Sukkos, you had three that was to stop the people from doing work. And v'sholosh lahavd ben kodesh l'cha, and three to separate between the holy day of Shabbos and the weekday. So therefore you have three different components which make a total 48. You have the components that are done every single day. Then you have the components of an Erev Shabbos which has its own. And then you have the components of Sukkos which has its own, for a total of 48. That was the most that of the blast that they had in any single day in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara tells us the way it describes the numbers of the blasts being no less than 21 and no more than 48, the Masnit and the Lake Rebihuda. Our Mishnah is, the way it calculates the numbers is not like Rebihuda. The time like learning the Braiser, Rebihuda, I mean, he says, HaPoiches, whoever wants to do the least amount of blasts in the Mikdash, Lo Yifchis Mishava, shouldn't do less than 7 blasts. V'amoisim, and whoever wants to do more, in other words, the most that it could be, is Lo Yosef HaSheshes, it can't be more than 16. Now, the Gemara asks, but my commitment, what are they arguing about? How come our Mishnah calls it 21 and 48, and Rebihuda calls it 7 and 16? So that the Gemara says, Rebihuda Savar, Rebihuda holds, Tekiah true, Tekiah achasi. He considers them as one mitzvah, and therefore they're counted numerically as one. So therefore, whatever it be, 48 or 21, you divide that by 3, that's where you get his numbers of 7 and 16. Rabban Savri, no, Tekiah luchud, betru luchud, although you do them together, but each one is a separate mitzvah, and therefore they count it as 3, and therefore it turns out to 21 and 48. So the Gemara says, my time to Rebihuda, what's the reason for Rebihuda that he considers them as one mitzvah? Amakra, it says a pasuk in Bamidbar, uskatim trua, that you'll blow a tkiah as a trua, yaduchsiv trua yisko. But it also says that a trua you'll blow a tkiah. So okay, so which one is it? So the Gemara says tkiah trua achasi. Obviously, that they're really one. We're calling a tkiah trua and trua tkiah. That is one thing, and that's why he says that the tkiah trua tkiah is one mitzvah. Rabbanan, what do they do with that pasuk? That passage is coming to teach us that there has to be a flat blast, and then the trua, and then a flat blast after that. As the Gemara Masechtas Hashanah Daf Lamedal Manaf explains, that first it says uskatem, that's one. Then it says trua, uskatem trua, that's two, meaning the tkiya and the trua. Then it says trua yisko, which you have the trua in the middle, which we already said, that you have a tkiya afterwards, which comes to tell you that you'll have the tkiah, trua, and then tkiah. That's what the pasuk is teaching us, not to say that they're the same thing, but rather that you should have it, a tkiah, trua, tkiah, but really they're all separate mitzvahs. Now, the Gemara asks, Rebbe Yehuda, however, according to him, lefaneu l'achrei b'noli, where does he know this halacha, that you have to have a tkiah before the trua and after the trua? And that he learns out, Nafkele Mishenis, that pasuk that we quoted where it says, Uskatem Trua, the pasuk there, the next word says, Shenis, that you should blow a Trua second. So that Shenis says that the Tkia that we had should be also a second one, should be afterwards. And that's how we know that it should be Tkia, Trua, then Tkia. And then the Gemara asks, okay, so that's the source for Rabbi Yehuda, but for Rabbanan Maitama, what's the reason of the Rabbanan that they consider each one as a separate mitzvah? So something like it says a pasuk about Midbar. Says over hakel es hakol, that when you gather the people, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, tisko, you should blow tkiya, v'loy teriyah, and don't blow a trua blast. Now, be'isal g'day tkiya trua achasi, and if you're going to entertain like a Yehuda, that the tkiya and the trua, they're one, therefore when we do tkiya, trua, tkiya, it's really just one blast, one mitzvah with these three different blasts. Amrachman, Hashem is going to, the Torah is going to tell you, palga the mitzvah of it, or palga lay of it. Half a mitzvah do it, half a mitzvah don't do. If it's one mitzvah, how could Hashem tell him just do a tkiya, not a trua? Obviously, that they're separate mitzvahs. And therefore, you count them as three, not as one. However, Behuda, he would tell you, hahu, no. That, when Moshe, that blast, when they went to gather the people, l'simana ba'amahud asam, that was just a sign when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to speak to them, and that wasn't a mitzvah, so therefore, yes, you can go ahead and do a tekiah because it's no relevance to the mitzvah. You're right, the mitzvah is one. All three, you wouldn't separate it for a mitzvah, but that was for something else. That was just to gather the people, just a sign that you can do a tekiah, not a trua. But the Gemara says, Rabbanan, they say, you're right, simanahu, it was a sign just to gather the people. However, v'rachmana shavi mitzvah, the Torah made it into a mitzvah because Hashem commanded him to gather them with this sign and not with any other sign. So obviously you see, although this was a mitzvah, a command from Hashem that gathered them with the tekiah, not the trua, so it's considered a mitzvah. Anything Hashem tells you is a commandment. And therefore we see that it is its own mitzvah, because Hashem wouldn't tell you to do half a mitzvah and not the other half. Now the Gemara asks, Kaman azla hodam Rav Kahana. Based on this machlokes that we have, which our Mishnah is like the opinion, not like a Yehuda, that is it each considered separate mitzvah, or is it all three one mitzvah? So when Rav Kahana said that im ben tkiya l'truah v'lo klum, that a person should not make any hafzik, that is only as long as a person can take a breath, but shouldn't interrupt more than that, between when they're making the tkiya, the truah, and the tkiya, who is that going like? So the Gemara says, come on, who is that like? That's Rav Yehuda. That's like Rav Yehuda, obviously. Where he says they're all one mitzvah. According to the Rabbanan, according to our Mishnah, where they're all separate mitzvahs, it's just that's the procedure. So you would be able to stop in between. Rav Yehuda is who Rav Kahana is going like when he says, you're not allowed to interrupt because it's one mitzvah. Now that the Gemara asks, Peshitta, it's pretty obvious. Of course we know it's Rav Yehuda. What was the question? According to Rabbanan, what would be the problem about interrupting? That the Gemara says, it continues the top of Nandal Madalav, that no, Ma'adetim HaFalik Rabbanan, we would think that maybe that halacha Rav Kahana would even be like Rabbanan. And you would be able to interrupt a little bit. Now, this Rav Kahana saying, ain bain, that a person shouldn't stop in between the tkiya, trua, and tkiya, he meant to say that you shouldn't make a large interruption. And that is, ulafukim Rabbi Yechanan. He was come to exclude from Rabbi Yechanan. The Amad Rabbi Yechanan said, really? He said, shama tesha tkiya is, he said, a person can hear the nine blasts, which are the halachas min ha-tayra to hear on Rosh Hashanah, which you have three for a malchias, which is a tkiya, trua, tkiya, you have the three for Zechrenis, and you have three for the Shefaris, which are nine blasts in total, as the Gemara says in Pesachus Rosh Hashanah. Now Rashi says that the reason why we do more than nine blasts is because we have a suffix regarding what the trua is. Is the trua what we call trua, which are the small little blasts, or is it what we call shvarim, which are larger sounds of the interruptions, or is it both together? And therefore, that's why we have more. But essentially, in that Torah, it's only nine. So that Rabbi Yechanan said those blasts, but teisha shoyis b'yoyim yatzev, you heard them in 9 hours of the day, that's how long in that span of when you heard these nine blasts, you'll fulfill it. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush that we would think that Rav Kahana was going like, even like Rabbanan, that you could interrupt, but not long. He was trying to say, but you wouldn't be able to do like Rabbi Yechanan, who says you can have that long of 9 hours. I said, no, ain't bang, you can't interrupt. But it didn't mean that it has to be as short as Rabbi Yehuda, that it's one mitzvah. Rather, it could be like Rabbanan, that it's a little bit longer, but not 9 hours. That's the chiddush that we're saying that no, it's like Rabbi Yehuda and not like the Rabbanan. So that the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Ve machanami? Maybe say that is exactly what Rav Kahana is. Maybe it's like the Rabbanan, he's just excluding like Rabbi Yechanan. That the Gemara says, no, imkain, if that would be the case, then my v'loy klum, what would his words mean when he says nothing? In other words, it sounds like you can't even make even a small interruption. If it was going like the Rabbanan, you could make, it's not one mitzvah, it's three different mitzvahs. And therefore, must be that when Rav Kahana said his halacha, it must be that it was going like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yechanan for sure, because that was 9 hours, but not even like Rabbanan, because he added on the words of Loi Klum, must be like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the tekiah, truant tekiah, is one mitzvah, and therefore you cannot interrupt between those blasts.